The mayor-elect, Lynn Hall, has joined me in the Daybreak studio. Nice to see you again, sir.
Well, good to be back. Thanks very much.
Just before we came on here this morning, I asked you how it was all going, and you're just taking a moment to enjoy what you can?
Yeah, I am, and along with the family, and ever since the numbers were announced on Saturday night, you kind of exhale and then take a look at the journey you've been on for not just the last 30 days, but I guess for me the last number of years, and we just want to enjoy the next few days, and we'll get to work here as soon as we're sworn in and carry on. But it's time just to reflect and enjoy.
Your own knuckles get a little sore, I suppose, as you go around knocking all those doors.
Yeah, it's a tremendous amount of work. And the 30 days of the campaign is nonstop. It's, you know, between forums and debates and interviews and responding to questions. And it's a tremendous amount of work.
Just sort of take me inside your mind just for a moment there, because, you know, as you do so much work, you must have known it was going to be a fairly close race. You're obviously hoping for the win, but then you also have to prepare yourself for the fact that you could very easily be the one delivering the concession speech. But as you started to realize that, you know, the lead was opening up, that it was not only opening up, but holding, and the announcement comes down that you're the next mayor, what's the first thought going through your head?
The first thought that went through my head is, where's the family? Pull the family together. And they were by my side. And so we had a huge hug. And I think just we all breathed a sigh of relief that we'd managed to come out victorious. And the first thing through my mind after that really was, wow. Mm-hmm. It's surreal. You're caught up in the moment and you've worked so hard for it that all of a sudden there it is. And you just sort of let yourself relax and enjoy the moment. And that's what we did. We talked about it yesterday, and we all just had much the same feeling.
The accountability starts on December 1st when you're sworn in as the new mayor. But, your opponent, Mr. Zurowski, had a little bit of, I suppose, criticism for you during his concession speech. He lamented, I suppose, that he didn't really get a sense of a clear vision that you had for the city. Now, so much of what Mr. Zurowski talked about was his 100,000 vision, you know, of bringing the city up to 100,000. So what is a realistic vision that you think you can bring to the table over the course of the next 4 years?
Well, I think I did lay out the vision, and certainly post-campaign. I'm not going to get into his campaign. Mm-hmm. I can talk about mine. We kept it very positive throughout the entire campaign, but I did lay out what I thought the city should look like over the next 4 years, and top of list was the leadership piece, a different style of leadership at City Hall and in the city, and more inclusive style, and that connection back to the community. Mm-hmm. And I laid that out. I talked about what I wanted to do with each individual councillor and what that looks like, and we'll be talking about that at our orientation.
That's an internal thing, though. I mean, that's very much a City Hall thing. But I mean, here's my argument is that what's the sale to come to Prince George as opposed to going somewhere else?
I talked about that, too, quite extensively. Mm-hmm. The amenities we have, we need to get out and sell those even better than what we're doing now. And those amenities are UNBC, CNC. We've got a great K-12 system. And also the University Hospital. CN Center. Look at our recreational opportunities here, not only within the city, but outside the city. The other piece of that is around our arts and cultural activities in the community. They're huge. There's so much to brag about and to advertise about Prince George that we just need to make a concerted effort that we get it out there.
Prince George not alone in terms of needing some infrastructure work.
Absolutely.
And we've heard some talks of what's being called a storm tax. Where do you see the biggest challenge on getting the city ready for an influx of industry, for an influx of workers?
I think the infrastructure is huge, and I talked at near the end of the campaign about this is going to be probably a 10-year project in getting us completely restructured around our infrastructure needs. And one of the opportunities we have is to take a look at our federal gas tax money, and maybe that's the start of the pot of money that we need and build on that slowly. But it's work that I think and have said that it's going to be the key piece of work council needs to do. It's a big financial impact.
There is prestige that comes with being mayor of any any city, really. But in the last hour, we've had a couple of different takes on that. Nate Bello, former mayor of Quesnel, was talking about the fact that sometimes mayors don't get quite the respect that they should get from municipal government, or sorry, from provincial governments and federal. On the other side, we have Bob Simpson, who has sat at that provincial table. Now he's down the road in Quesnel, and he's talked about meeting with you. He's talked about meeting with other mayors in northern BC to consolidate your voice to get the help that different municipalities need. What do you think is your role in not just being, as I put it earlier, sort of being cheerleader in charge, but also making sure that there are tangible results, that provincial and federal money does come flowing in to add to municipal coffers?
Well, it's huge, and I'm glad to hear Mr. Simpson say that, because I was thinking about it on the way into this interview this morning, that it's important, I think, that the mayors in the north get together and have that conversation. But the other piece of this that we forget, we have a sitting councillor, Councillor Frizzell, who is on the Federation of Canadian Municipalities and chair of the Finance Committee. That's a huge plus for the northern part of BC. He has direct access with some of the most high-profile federal cabinet ministers. He has provincial access. So we need to utilize that strength. The other piece of this is that I think if we pulled mayor and councils together from the north and had, and I'm hoping we can do that in the new year, we have the MLAs and ministers that we need to get together with, not only provincially but federally. We need to strengthen that relationship and let them know exactly what these communities in the north are needing. Mm. That's a big job, big job.
LNG is still very much a proposal.
Yeah.
Not a lot of levels of government really want to commit to too much until there's actual projects that are going ahead, not just proposals.
Yeah.
And certainly when it gets beyond negotiations. As we start to see places like Kitimat and Prince Rupert start to take more of a hand and get more influence because of, you know, them being direct locations for these projects, how do you make sure that Prince George doesn't get left behind?
Well, I think the piece of that is we need to be directly involved, either through the Chamber, IPG, and Mayor and Council. We need to be looking at what industry and manufacturing that we can provide to these companies that are coming in with LNG, but not just that, the mining sector as well. And I think we also need to really push the fact that we are a central distribution hub. Anything going north or west is coming through Prince George, and we need to take advantage of that. So if we have those amenities here, which we do, we've got the two industrial parks that we need to get filled up, get working on that. We just need to be active in saying, look, Prince George is a hub. You're coming through here. Here's the amenities we have. What can we do to service your company?
One of the other aspects of the election on Saturday, at least in Prince George, was the referendum that was on the ballot as well. A little over 18,000 people voted, and the difference was 2,000 votes in terms of keeping and getting rid of fluoridation. Now, it's non-binding, but the yes side did win. How much do you feel beholden to that result, and how much do you want to actually take this issue forward and study it and make sure that you're making the right decision?
Well, I said before the election, I feel very beholden to the result. It's not fair that we ask people to do their homework, go out and vote on a referendum, and then it come back to council and we just kind of say, well, okay, thanks very much. I want to bring it back to council early in the new term. Probably not January, probably looking at February, March, bring that back and have council look at it. But I think that, as I said, you ask folks to go out and participate in a referendum, binding or not, I think it's incumbent upon council to take a look at it. And certainly I've said I'll support the outcome of that referendum.
Elections can, though, be rather emotional things. And certainly we've heard from local dentists who have expressed concerns that this is going to be harmful to the dental health of people in this region. Certainly lower income people in Prince George will be directly impacted by the lack of fluoride in the water. Other city councils 10 years on, 3 years on, are seeing the results of decreased dental health. How much do you want to take that stuff into account, though,
well, I think
to make sure that you're making the right decision?
I think we have to, but I would hope that as each councillor candidate prior to getting elected went in and voted for the referendum, I'm sure each one of them would have done their homework so we can come to the table and have that discussion. There's no question about it. But we put it out to referendum for a reason. Council of the day wanted to get feedback from the community, and we've received that. And I've certainly heard loud and clear that, you know, it's important to keep it in or it's important to take it out. You hear on both sides of the story, but we've had the referendum. The outcome is there. So this council will need to discuss, and each councillor will have to make up their own mind on how they want to support or not that referendum.